name is Carlos, and I'm a drug addict and alcoholic. And I'm super, super grateful to be here tonight. It's too bad. Thanks. Too bad Chris isn't here. I really wanted to thank him for asking me out, even though it never... Can you not hear me? It's never, like, super easy or anything to come out here and talk in front of anybody. It never gets easier. But we always say yes, right? So, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about... share my experience, strength, and hope. And one, I'd like to say how grateful I am for this program and the relationships that I've made in this program. I got sober July 17th of 2012, unfortunately in a jail cell on my way to prison. But I'm forever grateful for the experience that I had. I actually came here. I've been here twice. I came in. It had to have been like 20 years ago or something. It was on MLK. It was a long time ago. A lot of people don't even remember that. I literally checked in and then walked out as soon as I started getting sick. And then I came back again. Right before I got locked up this last time, I came in, and I was pretty pumped on it, but you know I still wasn't ready, man. As soon as I started getting really sick, I took off. I'm a heroin addict and a cocaine addict, and I can also identify as an alcoholic too. Although I never, you know, it never took me down like those other drugs did. But that's my story. And I have so much to be grateful for this program. I used hard drugs and drank for over 20 years, 20 something years, and I learned everything in this program. I learned how to love. I learned how to be a dad. I learned how to be a brother, a son, and you know. All this other stuff. I mean, I learned how to live. I learned how to read here. You know, I learned everything right here because of this book. And you know, I owe everything to this program. And when I came in early on, Chris was actually my first sponsor that I ever had. I'd been in and out of the rooms. You know, I had to get that card signed. You know, I started getting in trouble real young age and stuff. And I came in at one point. I had moved back from. I was living in Los Angeles. I moved back, and some friends of mine were like, "Hey, man, we got this dude. You know, Chris. You know, and you got to meet him. And you know, he's gonna be your sponsor. And you know, all this other. You know, and I didn't do anything. You know, we just met up and we talked a little bit, and you know, tried to go through the steps. And you know, I wasn't serious about it. You know, when I got serious. I chased it like I chased dope. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't a bad time to work the steps. I didn't have to wait for that, you know, magical moment to do my four step, or you know what I mean. I did exactly what I was told, and the results started happening. And for me, that's what I need, man. I need results, you know, to understand that this is real. But I never ever gave it a chance to actually find out, you know. I have this little cheat sheet with just a bunch of random stuff scribbled all over it. There's something that I have written down here. It's a couple of weeks ago, I had a sponsee that had 18 months of sobriety, and we started working together about 8 months before that, and he stopped calling me about two months before, you know, before he relapsed. And, you know, I had been reaching out to him and stuff. And I mean, so what I'm getting at here is, you know, I have another friend too. And I just ran into another friend of mine here that, you know, if I mean, I'm sure that a lot of you guys have been, you know, in and out, you know, of the rooms and stuff, and you know, if you've ever asked anybody, like, hey, what, you know, when they went out, like, hey, what happened, man? What, you know, when you have a friend that goes out, or when you know someone that goes out, and you ask them what happened, it's like, you know, they never ever say, like, I don't know, I was working the steps, I had sponsees, I had a sponsor, and, you know, I went to meetings, I had commitments, I had a home group, you know what I mean? None of that is ever, ever said, you know what I mean? My life depends on this, and I know that for a fact. I know that for a fact, that my life depends on this, and I have to do everything that's suggested in order to get the good stuff, you know what I'm saying? There's a meeting that I go to that I'm a member of, and when we have people come into that meeting, there's a couple of us that have been there for a while, and you know, I mean, it's all joking and laughing, you know what I mean? We're smiling, we're having a good time because we are, you know, not to sound cheesy, but we are happy, joyous, and free. And when I was sitting in the chairs that you guys are sitting in, you know, whether I was in prison or in AR or whatever other 9 treatment centers I've been to, it sounded like a crock of shit. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. I didn't like it. It sounded really cheesy, man. And I was ready to boogie. You know what I mean? I was like, who are these people? You know what I mean? All trying to hug me and you know, like, you don't know who I am. Why are you trying to hug me, dude? Anyways, man, this dude, man, he relapsed on a Monday, and he died on a Thursday, and you know that's the severity of this. You know, I make no bones about it at all. You know, this is the real deal. I'm the real deal, man. I'm a drug addict all the way down to my core. You know. And once I start using, I can't stop. I'm going to ride it till the wheels fall all the way off. You know what I mean? That's how I do it. I mean, that's how I do it every time. You know, and I did it for a long time. And you know, I have another friend that just relapsed too. That, you know, had 8 plus years of sobriety. And man, the reason that I'm bringing this up is because this is how serious this whole deal is, you know. It doesn't matter how much time you have, or you know, if you're not working these steps how it's outlined. We're supposed to have a sponsor. We're supposed to have sponsees. We're supposed to go to meetings. We're supposed to do all of it. One of my first sponsors told me, You know, when you meet with your sponsor, you know, you kind of go back and forth. The way it's been done with me is you know, you meet up before he agrees to sponsor me. We're going to talk about ourselves for a little bit. I want to, you know, he's going to tell me about himself. I'm going to tell him about me, and then, you know, and then I'm going to decide, and he's going to decide whether or not we're going to continue on, and get the boogie woogie on, right? Start working these steps, right? And you know, he tells me, he says, man, you don't get to not do any, a little bit of this. You have to do all of it, you know, because he knew I was just like him, you know, and that my life depended on whether or not I stayed sober, you know. I had no idea. I had no idea that this is what I was going to get from being sober, man. I had no idea. I had no idea what sobriety had to offer me, you know, and what kind of life I was going to get to, you know, what kind of life I was going to get to live, man. I have a really cool life these days, man. You know, I'm a member of an awesome group. I have an awesome sponsor. I work with some really good dudes. I get to do stuff like this, you know. Even though it's Sunday and I can think of about 100 other things that I could be doing right now. You know, I'm always so grateful and honored that I get to do stuff like this. And, you know, I have a kick-ass relationship. And there I go again with them curse words. Sorry about that. There's a bunch of kids in here. I'm part owner of a business that I've been fired from 3 times. I'm totally serious, you know? And I didn't, and you know what's even crazier is that I wasn't like, yo, dude, make me a partner, man. Like, let me buy in, you know what I mean? You know, I worked the steps, went to meetings, and you know, worked with sponsees, and all of a sudden, you know, he asked me to do this, you know? You know, it's the things that you get from working this program and doing it how it's outlined in the book. And even that, man, when I was in treatment or, you know, newer in sobriety, you know, and I see these guys come up here with their fancy clothes and, you know what I mean? I really couldn't relate. And they're talking about these businesses that they have. And I was like, man, these dudes aren't like me, you know? And the truth is that they are like me, and you know, one of the things that happened when I started growing up in this program was that I stopped judging people, man, you know, and I stopped. That's when things really started to happen, man. When I stopped trying to look for differences in people and started looking for similarities, you know, especially in these rooms, you know. I listen to a lot of speaker tapes. I don't know if any of you guys out there do that. I listen to a lot of speaker tapes, and there's a story. there's a story that I really like. This is not my story. I can obviously relate, and that's why I'm going to tell you. And I might mess it all up too, but I guess I wrote it down for a reason, because I wanted to share with you guys and I can really relate to it, and it's about a hole that this guy's in, you know, and this is the guy in drug addiction, right? And or that I was in, you know, because it totally relates to me. And a dude comes by and says, "Hey, let me give you this ladder." You guys ever heard this story? Any of you speaker tape people? And this dude gives him a ladder. He says, "Hey, let me help you get out of that hole," right? He takes the ladder and he goes upon it for a, you know, a 20 bag or a nickel bag or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Then he ends up back in the hole, right? Then a preacher comes through and says, "Hey, man, let's kneel and pray and let's, you know, look at this Bible." And then, you know, the dude takes off and then, you know, the preacher takes off and the dude's still stuck in the hole, right? Getting loaded. And then the doctor comes through, right? He's got these pills. He says, "Here, let me help you alleviate your pain," right? And he gives him some pills or whatever. I think one of the speakers, he says, they're probably like oxycodones or whatever they're called, you know? You know, he's still loaded and he's still stuck in the hole, right? And that was me. I was, for years and years, I tried everything, you know? I mean, I tried everything, you know? When I was sitting there, you know, about to be sentenced, you know? They're telling me, you know, you're going to do all these years or, you know, you have all these charges and whatever else. And I'm saying, man, I swear to God, if they let me out, you could have given me a lie detector test. You know what I'm saying? And I'm never, ever going to use again. Never. You know, I'm going to go to these meetings and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a good dad and I'm going to, you know what I mean, all the way. And you could have given me seriously a lie detector test and I would have passed. Because in my heart, like, I really, really thought, like, this is the real deal. I'm ready, right? But I never was, and I didn't know. I had no idea that what this program had to offer, you know. And I'm, you know, again, you're gonna hear me say how grateful I am over and over again, because man, I was a wreck, you know. I was a wreck for a long time, you know. And so I'm gonna go ahead and tell you guys a little bit about myself and where I'm from. I'm from a small town in Texas, Brownsville, Texas, and it's a border town by Mexico, and I grew up like in a neighborhood and everything, and you know, I had like regular parents and everything, and I mean, like you know, they were like school teachers, you know what I mean? I wasn't like beaten or any, you know, I mean, I had a pretty decent, you know, I had a good life, and they provided for us, and Actually, I was beaten pretty bad. I was pretty fucked up. but I was a pretty bad kid, man. I had two brothers, and they, like, went to college and shit. You know what I mean? And I was out there on the streets, you know? And, man, I started using intravenous drugs when I was 14 years old for the first time. And I was just lost, you know. And that's what the older guys were doing in the neighborhood, and I thought I'd give it a shot. And you know, it's not like I was like immediately hooked or anything, right? But you know, I definitely really liked it, you know. And I started kind of chipping a little bit and using every now and then whenever I could. And you know, I drank too. You know, I drank, and you know, I always knew you know, you hear people say it all the time. I knew I was a little bit different, you know. You know, when I'd go out drinking with my friends, because I went all the way until it was gone. You know what I mean? And you know, they had curfews and whatever else, and so did I, you know. But all that went out the door, you know. And I had these little secrets, right, about my drug addiction, because I couldn't tell anybody that I was experimenting with heroin and cocaine, you know what I mean, intravenous drugs, because you know, I had like normal friends that didn't do that, you know. So I started smuggling drugs from Mexico to America. Right, there was a little river. There's the Rio Grande River right there, where I'm from, and that was 9 blocks from my house. And I got into that. I was no good at school, man. I had no, I couldn't focus. You know, maybe it was the heroin and the crack. I don't know. anyways, I started messing around with and these older guys again. They put me on to you know, swimming across the river with large amounts of marijuana. And so I started making money, and I ended up, you know, having a trade, you know, having a way to make money, and I was pretty good at it, and I had a lot of connections, and you know, they knew it. The older guys knew that I was a go-getter, you know, and that I was stupid enough to do anything, right? So they kind of used me a little bit for that, but I learned a lot, and I ended up moving here when I was I was like 17, 18 years old, and a buddy of mine hit me up. He said, "Hey, you should come up to Austin," and he said, "You know, they're paying better money over here than they are down there." So I came up here, and where I was from, you know, in Brownsville, it was very frowned upon to use intravenous drugs around, like, my friends. Like, I didn't have any other friends that were my age, they were all in their like 40s and 30s and been in and out of prison their whole life. And you know, those are the guys that were using intravenous drugs. When I moved here, it was a whole different scene. And I had friends that were my age that were using, and you know, it was normal. It was kind of normal for someone my age at that time to be doing those hard drugs like that. And it opened. I didn't have to do it in secret anymore. I had a lot of friends to do it with, and you know, and at this point now, I'm bringing large amounts of marijuana to Austin. So I had all kinds of money, you know, and like, you know, bad, you know, dope habits and stuff. And you know, I started getting in a lot of trouble, and I ended up, you know, going to treatment, in and out of jailhouses and stuff like that. And then, you know, the treatment, I think I've been to treatment, I think it's been like 9 times. I went to treatment 9 times and went to prison twice. You know, I tried moving away too. I moved to Los Angeles, and you know, that didn't work. They had dope in Los Angeles too. And I was like, "Oh, fuck, man." You know, I was like, Shit. I'm going to get cleaned up and move to Hollywood. So it didn't work. It was really rough out there too, man. Los Angeles is something else, you know? I ended up homeless out there. It was rough. Those streets are nasty out there, man. So I started working in the job that I do now, and I was able to make some really good connections and made some really good friends, and I was able to travel and make some good money, and I stopped selling dope. I stopped selling drugs, but it was always something that I fell back on. I always kind of went back to that, you know, I mean, you guys know how it is, man. I was out there on the streets, man. I was doing it, you know. And even when I started working in the business that I am now, I still used nonstop, you know. I mean, this is still in my early 20s, you know. And I'm 43 next month, so you know, I was out there, man. And you guys know exactly how it is, man. I don't have to tell you, you know. You all know what we did. All those years in and out of treatment, and you know, and prison, and these jailhouses, and you know, I went to Safe P too. I went to Safe P twice. I went to state jail, TDC, all of it. You name it, I did it. You know what I mean? All the letters. You know. I never ever, like, took a chance to look at this book, you know? You know, I mean, they knew I was a dope fiend. They knew I was a drug addict. You know, them judges knew, you know? And when I came to treatment, they were like, man, here you go, man. You got to do this. You know what I mean? And, you know, I couldn't do it. I didn't want to do it, man. They bring up the God and these steps and whatever else. And I was like, oh, hell no, man. I'm not doing any of that, you know? I'm not doing any of that. It didn't sound, you know, it sounded cheesy, man. You know? But I could do a whole bunch of other shit out there on the streets. You know what I mean? You know? How are you going to tell me that, you know, you ain't going to mess with no God stuff, but over there, you're over there taking water out of the toilet bowl for your syringe. You know what I mean? Is that too far? Is that too... Did I go too far? So... But the thought of God was too much, man. And, at the shop, you know, I still have a lot of old friends, you know, that I used with and that are now sober, and you know, and they come around real often, and my business partner and I used to get loaded together for years and years. And you know, sometimes we're sitting around and we're bullshitting, right? We're telling stories, and they're like, you know, oh yeah, man, remember Carlos something something, blah blah blah, you know, going these telling these crazy stories, and these other guys that work with us are like, you did what? You know what I mean? They're like, you know, I've done a lot of growing, man, in 5.5 years, you know, or yeah, like almost 5.5 years. I mean, it's like I've completely changed into a different person. I'm not the same person that I was, you know. I remember saying when I started coming to these treatment centers and these jailhouses, saying, I want my old life back, man. I just want my life back. I had no idea what was ahead, what was to come. Why would I want my old life back? When this was waiting for me, you know, it doesn't make any sense, man. And these guys are like, man, I can't even imagine you carrying a pistol, or you know, or shooting up in your neck, or whatever crazy shit that I did. You know what I mean? I can't even imagine that today. It's so far from how I live. You know, I can talk about it, you know, with my friends, you know, but to think that was me doing that stuff, I mean, even running a fucking red light, I said a bad word again, there's all these babies everywhere, I don't even jaywalk, y'all. I'm serious. I don't jaywalk. You know? I'm not trying to deal with those people, man. I don't need the cops pulling me over. I'm not scared. You know what I mean? But like, why would I want that? You know? It's the law, right? You're not supposed to jaywalk. You know? You're supposed to work these steps. People ask me, man, they're like, man, what happened, dude? How did you change? How did you do it? I'm like, man, you don't even want to know, you know? These people, they're normal people, you know what I mean? And you know, and I'm not a normal person, you know? I live a very normal life today, but I'm not a normal person. I'll tell you a quick story that I was thinking about on the way here. And I have a little assistant helper dude, right? That we're pretty close. He helps me on a couple days a week, you know, organize my life because I'm pretty burnt up, you know. I mean, I'm like, you know, I forget everything, you know, and if I don't, you know, I got to ship things out and I got to make phone calls and I got to do emails and click and paste, you know what I mean? Like I don't know how to do any of that shit, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how to do any of it, so I got to pay somebody to help me do it. And we're pretty close friends. And a couple weeks ago, I had a panic attack, right? I've never had a panic attack in my 43 years of life. I've never, ever had a panic attack. You know, all them drugs, you know. That's what it felt like. It felt like I was, like having a drug overdose, like a cocaine overdose, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, man, what, you know what I mean? I wasn't tripping in my head really that bad, you know what I mean? But I called some doctor friends of mine and they, you know, and then, you know, I have a doctor too. And, you know, I had told them what was going on. They said, man, it's all that coffee you drink, right? You know, a couple cups a day, you know, nothing too crazy, right? But, you know, it was affecting my stomach. And then, you know, the regular stuff with life, you know what I'm saying? Because just because I'm sober and I have this like kick-ass life or whatever, it doesn't mean that life stops. You know what I mean? It's still coming at me hard. You know what I mean? But today I know how to deal with it. You know what I mean? I got all the tools, you know, and nothing really fazes me. I'm going to be honest. You know what I mean? Like when I'm not working the program, when I'm not staying in contact with my sponsor and working with these sponsees, I can feel myself start to slip pretty quick, you know? Start to get a little judgy. Maybe think about jaywalking. Like, you know what? I think I'm going to jaywalk today. Signs blinking, no. this dude, he had the same thing, right? His chick had an accident, and you know, he's a normal person, right? Like, not a drug addict, not an alcoholic. And he has the same deal, right? He's like, dude, I had a panic attack too, bro. I'm like, what? He's yeah. He's like, man, my heart felt like it was gonna pop out of my chest. Yada yada yada, whoopie whoop, you know. And I said, damn, what are you gonna do? He's like, man, I'm done. I quit drinking coffee. I was like, damn, okay, awesome, right? We're doing this, right? So it had already been like a week, right? I hadn't had any coffee or anything. You know, 2 weeks later, you know, now I'm having panic attacks, right? My stomach's all messed up, you know? And I start sipping on coffee again, you know what I mean? It still shows up, right? And then, you know, every couple of days having a cup of coffee, you know, so now it's been like 3 weeks, right? And I'm still chipping, you know what I mean? I'm still dabbling with, you know, what moderate using. I saw old boy today at his other job, and he said, I said, man, I said, what coffee do y'all have today? He says, you're drinking coffee? I said, well, I mean, just a little bit. I said, you still haven't had any coffee yet? He goes, no, dude, it messed me up. No way. I was like, fucking square? You know what I mean? Fucking, what do you mean, dude? Okay, I guess I'm not normal, so that was pretty funny how that went down. So most likely you're not normal either, so especially if you have to be here. what was that? I'm definitely not normal, dude. I had a kid. She's 8 years old. I had a kid, and about a year into it, the first time I went to prison, I got out, and I only did like 23 months, and I got out, and I swore I was going to stay sober and do this deal, and I didn't do it. I did it for a little while. I didn't work any kind of program. I went to meetings and drank coffee and dated some girls that were in the rooms, and I ended up getting injured. And how much time do I have? Oh my goodness, let's get sober. I wasn't working the steps and I got loaded. I wasn't doing anything but showing up to these meetings. And second, I had a kid, and I was using pretty hard, and again, I lost everything and went back down there. And I came here, and then stayed out there for a while, and they said I had to stay and here, and I said no, I don't. So I left, and then. Maybe a year later, I went, I got locked up. I had like 13 felonies in 1 year. I got 13 felonies in 1 year. I'm not kidding, man. I don't mess around, I'm definitely not normal, As soon as I have a drink or, one drink, I'm like, I need a gun and I need some money and some dope. That's all it takes. And that's why I identify as an alcoholic. Because the alcohol, no matter what, always takes me there. Back to what I'd love to do. So this last time I went down, I did 11 months, and I was really, really lucky. And I got out and I started working some steps. I started reading this book in there. This has a stamp on it that says TDCJ approved. Somebody sent me this book, and it has to get approved before you can get it. And I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to start reading this book. I'm going to try to read this book. I started reading it, and I read, like, there was only a few pages that I read, but I was reading and reading and reading every night, because I was done, man. I didn't want to, something had to change. Something had to give. And I got out, I had a sponsor, and then, we worked some steps, and then it didn't work out. I got another sponsor, and we started really, really working the steps, man. I want to tell you something, man. I've never, ever had a sponsor that's called me. I mean, maybe a couple of times. It's our job to call our sponsors. It's not my sponsor's job to call me. And he wasn't gonna tell me, hey, chop chop, man, let's get on these steps. It was up to me to do that, But I wanted it bad enough, And I came in here, and for the first couple years of sobriety, I was kind of spinning my wheels, and nothing was really changing too much. Man, I feel really bad. I really wanted to talk about all these steps. I never really got much results. I worked the steps, but I was really, really stuck with this idea of any kind of higher power. I didn't think it was cute. I didn't think it was cool to have this higher power in my life, and I didn't understand it, and I didn't really want to understand it, But I kept on going, man. I kept on working the steps, and I ended up moving. I was in Dallas. That's where I had to live for a little while, and when I got out, and I ended up moving back home and got to be with my kid. And yeah, I got this third sponsor, man, and he took me through the book, and we sat down and we read, and he knew my deal. He knew I couldn't read, and we started reading the book, and I got to have a new experience with these steps. And and admitting that I was powerless and being honest about it. You know what I mean? I felt like it was pretty easy, but it really, really got broke down to me. And I think I have something here that's, well, I don't think I know, but even though I'm running out of time really fast. And I wrote down some notes that I have written down in my big book. And next to the first step, I have written down honesty. Next to the second step, I have written down hope. And this was all passed down to me. I didn't, like, make this shit up, you know. And became willing to believe. I didn't have to believe, but I was willing to believe in something greater than myself. And that was enough for right then, you know? This is 2.5 years sober, you guys. Right next to the third step in my big book, I have written down faith, right? And I'm going to make this decision to turn my life over to the care of something that I don't understand. Whoa. Right? I was like, I don't know, man. I don't get it. I still don't get it. My sponsor says, how long have you been sober? I said, oh, man, shit, like 2.5 years. He says, you think you had anything to do with that? How can you not believe in anything greater than yourself? Where are you living? A 6x9? No. You sharing boxers with 2,500 other people? No. You know? That was a power greater than myself, and that's what it took to really understand this, you know what I mean? And I started to believe in this, you know what I mean? And then, you know, when I take guys through this work, and I mean, we do it quick, man, you know? After the third step, it talks about rigorous action. This is what this is all about, you know? It's time to get, you know, in steps 4 through 9, we face and be rid of the things that are blocking us. And even though I had been through the steps 3 times, and my life wasn't shit, and my life wasn't, I wasn't in like turmoil, but nothing was really changing for me until I worked the steps with this man. And he really, really took me through these steps, and I really started to get a good understanding. And we took, and we wrote down this inventory. We met every week. This is about consistency and being honest and being a man of integrity. If I say that I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there, you know. And I learned that in this program. I meet sponsees all the time, I like to get on a routine. I'm on a routine with my sponsor. The sponsor I have now, it's been 3 years. With this one sponsor, we meet every Wednesday, you know, unless something comes up. But I mean, there's a phone call way in advance, or a text or something, you know what I'm saying? Rigorous action, man. Do it quick. Step 4, you know, this is I mean, and people make this big deal about this 4-step, and I didn't, including myself, you know, and it wasn't shit, you know. Step 5, obviously, you know, we know what that is. Find out, your sponsor's going to find out what your defects are. And you're going to have to face, can you see what your part is in these resentments? And that's the most important thing. 6 and 7, willingness and humility. And a light came on for me when I started to do this. And prayed for these defects and these shortcomings to be removed. And 8 and 9, eight is forgiveness and love, and 9, making these amends is tough. You know, making these amends is really, really hard. I don't like it. And you know what? It makes me never ever want to do it again, because I had never made amends to all these people that I had really, really, you know, done wrong, you know. And And it's completely changed my life, you know. I mean, I'm still making amends. I told you all 13 felonies in like 24 years of drug addiction, you know. I just paid somebody $1,000 2 weeks ago. God, that stung. Man, but it felt good, right? You know? I'm very grateful that I'm in a position to do that. Ten, 11, and 12. 10-step is a really, really important in my life, and I get to take these guys to this work, and I get these nightlies, and I love it, and I love sharing my nightlies with my sponsor, and I don't do it all the time, I don't do it perfect, but I stay pretty consistent with it, and the 11th step, it even sounds weird saying it. At 5.5 years sober, that, you know, praying and meditation is the core of my sobriety. It's the first thing I do when I wake up, and it's the first thing I do before I go to sleep. And being able to plug in every day consistently has changed my life. And then the 12th step is what this whole program is all about, you know. Our primary purpose is to help others. That's it. But if I don't do any of this other stuff, I can't do it. I cannot transmit what I don't have. So, I hope you guys got something out of that talk. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for having me.